An interview with Nell Loder Richards at her home at 1028 Palo Verde, Long Beach, California. The date is April 4th, 1984, and the interviewer is Ann Andrews.
Well, Mrs. Richards, I would like to know about your early years. Were you born in Long Beach?
No, I was born in Republic, Washington. My father was a mining engineer, and he built a gold mine up there.
Oh, for goodness sake.
So, but I have lived all over the country and settled in Long Beach when I came to marry my husband in 1935.
So you hadn't grown up in Long Beach?
No.
Then?
No.
Oh, I see. Where did you meet Mr. Loder then?
Well, Mr. Loder was my third cousin.
Oh.
And my family had come out for the winter while I was still in school, and they asked me to come out after my school term in June, and I wasn't too sure I wanted to come because all they did was tell me what a wonderful man this was, you know, how people are.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But anyway, I came out, and in a week's time, we were engaged, but we weren't married that was in 31. We weren't married until 35, so uh-huh. It was sort of an off again, on again type
yeah.
of thing.
Where had you gone to school?
I went to Purdue University in Indiana.
Uh-huh. What did you study there? What was your
major? Well, I was majoring in, I was taking practically a pre-med course. I was majoring in bacteriology. But I left after 3.5 years. It was during the Depression, and I
mm-hmm.
never did go back to finish.
Mm-hmm. So did your parents ever settle in Long Beach after you were married? Or?
Well, they came to Long Beach to live after my husband died, when the children were little.
Yeah.
So.
What kind of work did Mr. Loder do?
He was a builder and a contractor, and he worked for the Bixby Company. He worked as their, I can't remember just exactly what his title was, but he took the job. I mean, Gary Neighbors took his job, and if you've interviewed Gary, you
yes,
probably realize
yes.
he took his job after my husband died.
Well, then, your husband's name was Carol Loder?
Carol Loder.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I saw his name listed as an officer of the Bixby Knowles Parking Association.
Mm-hmm. The Sweetest Park Association. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so, what else did he do with the Bixby? Did he actually work for Bixby?
Oh, yes.
Land companies?
When I knew the ME Bixby and the other, I can't remember, there's so many Bixby companies,
yeah.
I'm not sure, but there were several companies.
Mm-hmm. Bixby Company.
He worked with Young Llewellyn, and so he was with them during the war, and that's when he died, he was still with them.
I see.
He was during the war, he was with the Engineering Corps, and he was doing land acquisition up in the Los Angeles and San Bernardino area.
So he was always in land development?
Yes, he started as a very young man and as a contractor.
Had he grown up in Long Beach? Or?
Yes, practically, no. He came here as, I can't remember just when he did come, but he came as a young man. He went to Poly.
Uh-huh.
No, he went to, yes, he went to Poly.
Because Wilson probably worked on
Poly. Wilson was just opening.
Uh-huh.
And, so.
Where were you living when you were first married then?
Oh, we lived down on the shore. We lived in one bedroom. I don't think we even had a bedroom before. It was during the Depression.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So we were lucky to have that.
And you
have
two children?
I have two children, yes. My son Bruce and my daughter Nancy.
Yes. Well, when did Mr. Loder die?
He died in 1946.
That must have been very traumatic experience for you with two young children. And
yes, it was. I wasn't sure because I had never worked a day in my life, and I wasn't. But for somehow or other, I just didn't. I knew I was going to be able to do it. I don't know why, but I did. And so my first job was with the. I was president of the Junior League for 2 years, and he died during my second term. And we had just started this new project with the Volunteer Bureau. And so they asked me if I would get it started, get it on its feet. And while I was there, they came to me from the day nursery and asked me if I would be their director, which absolutely floored me because I knew nothing about that.
Uh-huh.
But we took it on a trial basis. Mrs. Bixby said, well, if you don't like it, you can move out, and not, I don't. We don't like you, we'll let you know. And I was there for 17 years.
Thank goodness, yeah. Then what was your, did you join, was it the Junior Charity League at the time?
It was the Junior Charity League at the time, and we turned Junior League while I was in the presidency.
I see. And you also established the Children's Dental Clinic. I mean, during
that was years ago. That was back in, I think, 36 or 37 that they started the dental clinic.
Yeah, so that was perhaps one of the major...
It was the major project of the nursery at the time that we changed over, and the Junior League policy was if you didn't have an ongoing project and that you you turned it over to community after a number of years. So that's why we started the Volunteer Bureau, so we could have a project without letting go of the Children's Dental Clinic. We wrote many letters back to that, to the association and whatnot, to explain that we hadn't really finished what we'd started out to do with the Children's Dental Center. And they finally agreed that it was all right if we started a new project, and that's why we went into the Volunteer Bureau.
Well, now the Volunteer Bureau now, the CBO, is that...
It's defunct.
It is defunct now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I was just going to say, well, it's in the Fairfield building.
No, I don't. I think that they let go about 2 or 3 years ago. It was after Claire Andrews left.
Oh. But when it began, where was it housed? Where did you have your offices? Do you remember?
Well, we were in the old building over on the old community chest building over... I can't remember what the address was, but it was an old house that had been converted, and there were other agencies in there. I think Traffic Welfare was in there, and the CVO, and the chest offices.
But so you certainly, while you may not have had any real training in child development, you certainly had managerial skills that you had acquired from your volunteer work and presidency.
Well, I'm sure that's true, and I think that any time that you work with an organization like the Junior League, you do get a lot of experience. And I've served on quite a few boards, so I did feel I had a background as far as the community, and I also knew the community well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important when you're running the United Way, as it is now, community, because it's your contact with the community who serves to bring in your funds to operate. That's very important.
Mm-hmm. 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 Had you known much about the Day Nursery prior to this time?
Only as an agency. I'd been there and been around, and evidently, I don't know how they happened to pick on me. I guess the director who was leaving suggested that I do it. She'd come to one of the Junior League meetings and spoken before the group. And that's how I happened to know. But I don't know that I had been inside the building or not. I'm not mm-hmm. quite sure. Mm-hmm. It's a long time. I can't remember.
Did Florence Dixie approach you and ask you?
No, she sent the head of the personnel committee, who was Avis Romer at that time,
mm-hmm.
and she was the one. Then we went out to her home and talked to her at length. She's the most wonderful woman I think I've ever met.
Mm-hmm. I've heard so many wonderful things about her.
She was a privilege to have the things she did, and she did so well with them. She was just a charming woman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, then let's say, could you give me a description of what did your job entail? As director of the nursery, it's kind of an overview. What was involved?
Well, we had three nursery schools.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a program that ran from 7 o'clock in the morning to 5:30 at night, or 6 as it is now, I think, which meant that we fed the children, we slept the children. We had an active program all day. I had a staff of about 30, and it was overseeing the staff. It was the community relationships. It was seeing that the buildings were maintained, and I had a very wonderful assistant, the latter part of my thing, that took over more or less the managing of the cooks and the building maintenance and whatnot. So that kind of eased my program a bit.
What was her name?
Elder Devine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let's say you have the staff of about 30. Could you tell me something about the hiring procedures and how this would be done?
Well, of course, I had a staff to start with, but then as we hired, we attempted at that time, of course, as you know, nursery school education has just really started to come into its fore, and we tried to get people who had at least 2 years of college education, hopefully in most of it in child development. And we had teachers that worked with the two-year-olds and the three- and four-year-olds, and then we had some school children. We had children who went to public school and then came back to the nursery and had their lunch, went back in the afternoon, and then came back in sort of an extended day type of thing.
Well, perhaps what kind of, well, when I served on the Bay Nursery Board some years ago, I can remember the United Way, one of the recommendations was that we should increase the salary of the employees. Was this ever a problem? Were their salaries, to your knowledge and remembrance, comparable to what they would get somewhere else with that kind of training and education, or any ideas?
Well, that's hard to say because it depends. We had some teachers who were graduates of college and whatnot, and probably. So, yes, I would say. I think it was always a running debate with the Community Chest and or the United Way that they just, we did not get the kind of salaries that we felt the teachers should get. And even as a director, my salary wasn't comparable to the type of work I was doing in comparison with some of the men's organizations. But,
do you think that, I mean, when you say comparable to some of the men's organizations, do you think that was just because you were a woman, or?
I think it was because we had an all-women's board, to tell you the truth.
Oh, really?
Yes. You know, the men have a way of patting each other on the back, and a man has a way of getting money to operate and to influence budget committees and what like that, that women don't have. I mean, we can appeal, but they put a little push on things together, yes. And I think it was back in the days, too, when men were much better. I mean, had a much better chance of demanding higher salaries than women.
Well, I think the fact that it was an all-women's board was really kind of unique. I mean, the fact it started from the very beginning that it was a woman agency.
Well, it was unique in many ways. It was unique in the fact that the women were on for life. There was no term. Once you were on the board, you stayed on until you retired, which the Department of Social Welfare, which was the licensing agency, didn't like at all. They didn't feel that it was. But we had one problem. We had Mrs. Walter Case on our board, and we were thinking about going into the 2-year term, 3-year, 6-year, whatever it was, term. But as long as she was still living, we didn't have the heart to put it in force because she was one of those for lifers. So it was rather difficult to these people who would. But little by little, when I went on the board, most of the women were older women. There was Mrs. Fred Bixby, there was Mrs. Llewellyn Bixby, and Mrs. Allen. I wrote these names down, so I try to remember this morning. Hope I haven't lost any. Mrs. Flint, who was one of, her husband was one of the Bixby, came out from the aisle with the Bixbys.
That Mrs. George Flint?
Mrs. Callahan, Mrs. C.C. Lewis was on the board when I came on. Mrs. Frances Settle, Mrs. Ralph Clark, who was the president when I came on. And Mrs. C.C. Lewis, did I mention her? And Mrs. Walter Case. Those are just the ones I've got off the top of my head. So they were all more mature women. And little by little, they started taking younger members on. And they're very loath, you know. I mean, I think they didn't really feel that we... And I was only 36 years old. I was a phenomenon. So they found that these little young girls were really capable of handling. And little by little, they released and resigned from the board.
Well, I believe Mrs. Bixby, until she was unwell, remained on the board.
Mm-hmm.
We have some of her granddaughter's papers on campus, Joan Hotchkiss, and I've read some of the notes that Joan's made, and I think she said one indication at the last few meetings that they used to carry Mrs. Bixby up to the last meeting.
They used to use the, and I can't remember his name because I knew him through my husband, but he used to bring her in the old station wagon, and they brought it, and bless her heart, she couldn't talk, you see. She had aphasia.
Uh-huh.
And she wanted so much to say something, and she tried to write it down, and she couldn't write it down. And it was hard seeing her like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, do you think that her influence shaped the way the nursery was going to be operated? Do you think she was the force that determined how they are?
Well, she was 35 years the president of the nursery, so I would say she probably had a great deal to do with it. And of course, she was the organizer when the Associated Charities came to her with this idea that they felt there was a need for it. She, I think, was chairman of the committee that started out.
Uh-huh.
And of course, at that time, at that time, the board members got in, they took meals, they did, you know, they really did the, it wasn't, the kind of an organization that it is now, where the board really is more or less sets the policies.
And ratifies the action.
That's right.
They brought the meals?
This is what I understand when Miss Fisher was there, that they did, and each child came with a little dime in its hand to pay for the day's care at the nursery. And I understand I never met Miss Fisher, but I think she was probably a very wonderful person.
Mm-hmm. Well, the things I've read about the early days, it seemed to be part of this whole idea of what a day nursery was, which was really a child care center, and maybe they would perhaps take a child for a couple of days if his mother was ill or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that it was so much sort of a preschool thing that it is now.
Well, we had, when I came, Mrs. Scouten had a very well set program. She had gone, Mrs. Bixby sent her to, I don't remember just where she sent her, but she went into a very good nursery training school. And she put on training classes for the new teachers. In fact, that's where I started then. I mean, they gave me about 6 weeks to go from, I was her assistant for about that amount of time, then she was leaving, and I attended these classes. After that, I went to UCLA and Occidental, and I mean, every summer I took a class in child development. I have, I must have 2 or 3 years of child development credits.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt I had to know just a little bit more than my teachers did. I couldn't operate. But it was the kind of a nursery that you didn't stay in your office. If there wasn't anybody around and somebody needed to sweep up a mess, you grabbed a broom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what would your typical day be like? Could you sort of say what you did?
It's kind of hard to
pinpoint
it. It's been quite a few years now. But we had staff meetings, and I had interviews with the head teachers, and then there was evaluation meetings, and we got to a point where we were really more or less, more professional than we had been during the period while I was there.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of that was the help that I got from UCLA. I was on 3 curriculum committees. I was one out at State, and I was on one at City College, and then I was one up at UCLA. So I had a lot of opportunity to work with people in the field at a much higher level than I was operating.
Mm-hmm.
And then I served for 2 years on committees in Sacramento. I was on the Social Welfare Committee, on the Nursery School Committee. I went up there about every 6 months to meetings. I represented all the nursery schools, the private community nursery schools in the state of California on this committee.
Mm-hmm.
which was very, very interesting.
What kind of things would you do on a
farm? Well, what we were really trying to do more than anything else was set policies for the Social Welfare Department in order to enforce the policies that they set up for the other nurseries, plus the fact that we're most interested in getting nursery school education in the schools so the teachers could. My teachers had to go to a course until they made up their whole 60 units of child development. They had to take a course a year in order to qualify. So we had to have courses available for these teachers who were on the job so they could work and then go to classes at night in order to build up their educational units.
Well, had Long Beach City College offered these courses for a long period of time, or
They did. They had a 2-year course in nursery school, early childhood development, or what they called it out there. Yes, they were offering quite a few classes.
Because certainly Long Beach State had just opened, I guess, and just begun, so they probably.
Well, they weren't. Ms. Morgenroth was out there, and of course Molly was very interested in nursery school education. In fact, she came and put on a program at our nursery school for us. And I had known Molly very well. I took several of my summers. I went to Pacific Oaks in Pasadena.
Yes.
And so I had a lot of contact with nursery school people there. And then I went to UCLA. And then, as I said, Occidental put on a course at Pacific Oaks.
I was told by Carly Fox, she mentioned a woman named Josephine Burgess who had been involved with nursery school or early childhood development. Are you familiar with that?
Josephine was head of the child care set of the Board of Education. She had all the child care centers and the extended day centers that were under her program.
Oh, I see.
But I worked with her in we had a nursery school association, a harbor nursery school, which I was president of, and I worked with Josephine in that capacity.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. I'd heard the name, and then I tried to find out something about her, and
I haven't heard anything about her for years.
I see. Well, I imagine you would get to know all of the experts in the field through the work you were doing.
Okay. Yeah, I was on the board, the Los Angeles board, and we had meetings in the Valley, in the Pasadena, all over every place, which was. And I think the getting together of people in the field and exchanging ideas is very important to nursery school people. They get rather stale in their job unless they get out and have the advantage of being with other people.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, how closely did the state Department of Social Welfare supervise the activities of the nursery?
Well, you had to be licensed every year.
Oh.
And they came in and looked your program over and, you know, talked to you about what you ongoing plans were and whatnot. That was just, and we had one person from the Social Welfare Department that came to our place, and she always would come at lunchtime and want to stay over. With first, you know, we used to serve we had staff that lived in, and we had meals at night
while you were on the board.
Yeah, but we changed that. But see, in the old days, the women lived in.
Yeah,
and we had bedrooms in all the nurseries, and we usually had a cook and whatnot. But she was a little difficult person, and everything I'd say that we were going to do, she'd go back to her supervisor and say she had suggested that we do it. Plus the fact that she had us take out all of our soap. We couldn't use soap, and she had us put in all kinds of soap dispensers. Well, it cost a fortune, but they said we had to do it, and so we did it.
Uh-huh.
And course, it didn't last very long. Then next time we got somebody, they thought that was nonsense, and they were always jamming and it didn't work. But anyway, it was. They worked close enough with you that they would come in and.
What about your relationship then with the Community Chest, United Crusade, United Way?
Well, I I think we had a very good relationship with it. As I said, I still think that the men's group had a much more pull than we did, but the budget committee, I think, was always very fair with us. We were able to put over our needs. And but I wasn't there long enough with United Way to know how it functioned. It was much more professional, and three copies of this and three copies. You almost had to hire a secretary in order to take care of what they wanted from you. I don't know how it is now. This was when they first started.
Well, I can remember that they would have visitations, and I can remember that as a board member, I had to go to visit Trump myself.
Uh-huh.
You know, this was kind of the responsibility, and I thought, well, this is very interesting, but they're professionals and they know what they're doing, and I really don't. I mean, this was a care center for some disturbed young children, and I thought, I know nothing about this, and I'm sure these authorities know what they're doing with it, these professionals. So, when did, I think the Day Nursery began the Men's Advisory Committee about 1940 or so. Can you tell me something about how they functioned?
Well, they started before that.
Before that?
No, wait, maybe not. Maybe that was fun. They were wonderful. We had for our North Nursery, we had Dave Root, who was with the Guy F. Atkinson Company, and Charlie Vickers, who was with the Harbor Department, was our East, our West Nursery, and the East Nursery was, we had several people, Glenn Gill, and I can't remember all the people who were out at the East. Oh, yes, they came in the summertime and just took over and fixed the yards, put new sand in the sandboxes, and moved the equipment and fixed the equipment, and they were marvelous. They were just, I wish that the nursery today had access to what these men did. Of course, as I said, they had their companies back them, and that
yes.
helped.
Well, I think when I was on the board, the Men's Advisory Committee did things like investing stock and that sort of thing. I don't remember ever seeing them out there fixing anything or repairing anything.
No, I don't know when it stopped, but they were a boon to the nursery because, as I say, they were able to, and they were also able to put the bee on somebody to do something or donate something. What I say about men.
Yes.
It does make a difference.
Yeah.
But we had wonderful men on the board. I remember Harry Button coming with Mrs. Button and fixing, working all weekend at the nursery and fixing chairs and doing things. A lot of our husbands have been very active and helpful. But
well, I can remember as a board member that every summer it was time to, when they closed the nursery for cleaning, and all the board members were expected to go in and work.
Well, you see, that never happened when I was there. Where the board members merely decided what color paint and what to do with this and that and the other thing, and they didn't have the responsibility of scrubbing cots and doing actual work. Well, I will say that, as I said, Mrs. Buffen was one of the, she came down and just probably spent all of her time there. But they weren't as active in the physical part of helping the older board members.
I had assumed that that was something that was beginning Mrs. Bixby's time.
Oh,
that was
no.
Carried on.
No.
Because
when I was there, they merely came in and decided what color paint they were going to put. And well, they contacted the contractors and did that. But I mean, they did not do. We used to have Boy Scout groups and whatnot come in and clean the cots.
Well, I can remember cleaning off all these little chairs and little boxes out at East where they were to put their toys and all of this. And I thought, what are they doing this at home?
I don't. Because frankly, I feel that this is not a board member's job. I think it's nice to be active and be able to do a few things, but I just don't think that. And I think this some turns off probably some of the board members.
Yeah.
And I know if you feel this way, I'm sure they do too. But we always had some group that came in and cleaned the cots and did things.
Oh, that's interesting. So that happened after you left the nursery.
Oh no, they never. They didn't come down and do anything like that while I was still there.
Mm-hmm. I saw some references to the National Federation of Day Nurseries. Was that an organization that the Long Beach Day Nursery was part of during your tenure?
No, they had a National Nurse School Association. I don't remember it was called Federation. And I worked on those committees when they had their conference. They had it up in Los Angeles, and I helped out during that time. I think we may have a couple. We have one over in Pasadena. But I really don't know what effect they had other than the conference type.